What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Well, this has been fun. Too bad there's not a whole lot to talk about as we are still in round one of what is the most exciting round in any sport. It is. I don't care if you're a hockey fan, if you're not a hockey fan. Round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It does not get much better than that, and there's so much to talk about. Welcome back. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Later on, we'll be joined by Jim Berenger. We'll dive deep long, if you will, or head deep, whatever it is, into the Devils-Canes series. Of course, Jim covers the Devils. He covers hockey on all fronts, too. But we'll dive into that specifically with Jim, and we'll give you our takes on the series as well, and go 77 seconds in with JB also. He's been dying, Vic, to get on the show. Everyone is dying to get on
the
show.
In the hottest town.
Everyone's dying to get on the show. There's only certain placements we have, though.
Absolutely. We're a little overdue with Jim. I will say that. We should have probably had him on earlier, but I'm really looking forward to talking all about all the series with him, not just the Devils. Very interesting, Ryan. Before we get into, I know we're starting in the East. I think it's interesting how it's a tale of two conferences right now, that you have all four series in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Teams are up 3-1. So we could have a fifth game elimination game in every single one of them. And the West is so much tighter. They're all 2-2, except one, of course, is 3-2. I just find that juxtaposition very interesting.
I agree. And if you look at kind of going in, I don't know if a lot of the assumption would have been, well, you know what? Yeah, a lot of assumption wouldn't the 3-1 maybe in the Eastern Conference and the 2-2s, a lot of them in the Western Conference. But yeah, I mean, again, it's round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. As Vic said, we'll go West in a second. But let's begin with the East. We'll talk Panthers and we'll talk Lightning. Tampa was down 2-1. For last night's game four, Florida came back 2 goals in 11 seconds. Tampa did the same thing before that. The game again was just absolutely wild, but it was marred by officiating. And I'm just going to get this right off the top here. And I'm not just talking about this series in specific, but maybe we are because we're diving into this first. It is really unfortunate that there's been so much chat coming out of a lot of the series, not every one of them, but some of the series, about the officiating. And what is a call and what is not a call, what goes called and what goes uncalled, and what should have been a call that is not. And at the end of the day, do these calls or non-calls affect the outcome of the game? We will never know because the script was already written the way it was and it played out the way it was supposed to play out. But we're all talking about this again. And once again, Vic, we're talking about this. John Cooper had enough last night about asking questions, being asked questions about, what do you think of the officiating? He said, paraphrasing, if someone in here has something to say, stand up and say it then, because I'm tired of answering. But the problem is because of the lack of consistency, we still talk about it. And once again, it's reared its ugly head because it's ugly.
In game four, specifically, we're talking about the, well, we can call it an elbow to the head.
We absolutely can. A forearm shiver, an elbow, a brutal play, a terrible play by Aaron Ekblad.
Aaron Ekblad on Brandon Hagel. Let's get the specifics out there. And it's just, I'm not laughing at the hit because it was horrible. I'm laughing at what you just mentioned earlier, the inconsistency with these calls. Yeah. So Hagel is knocked out of the game. Well, he was taken to the quiet room. We never saw him again. In that entire contest. I don't know if we're going to see him again in this series, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. And the point being, Ekblad wasn't penalized, wasn't thrown out. And I don't think this result would have been predetermined. He scored a goal later on in that game.
I know we did.
So the fact that this could have went, yes, Lightning blew a lead. They blew it. They were comfortable in that for a little while, and then they blew it, and they lost the game, and now they're down 3-1 in that series, and that's going to be super tough to come back from that against the Stanley Cup champions. But Aaron Ekblad now has a hearing. You just told me that a few minutes ago.
Yes.
When, again, not penalized. When Mark Messier is losing his mind afterwards saying he should have been tossed from that game. Speaking of Aaron Ekblad.
Hold on a second. Messier was known for a few things as well. So
there's irony here. I agree. But the fact.
And answer me this question. If you have a hearing the next day on a play that was not called the night before as a penalty, there's a lot wrong with that. There is a lot wrong. If you have a hearing and the play that you are having a hearing for did not go penalized, that is a real, real bad look in the NHL. I'm telling you, bad look in any league. But that's really bad.
Especially when the officials have the luxury of calling a 5-minute major.
Right.
And then reviewing
it. And then thinking, yes.
So they could have just called it, and they've done that. Other officials have done that during the Stanley Cup playoffs so far, and they've come back and said, no, it wasn't a 5-minute major. Okie doke, and we all move on.
But
it would have given them the opportunity to see the contact, to see the targeting of the head, because it was. And I'm a huge Aaron Ekblad fan, not necessarily today, but in general.
Right.
And I don't like, but that hit was brutal. What does he get?
He's got to get at least a game.
He's going to get at least a game. Does he get more?
You know me and my mentality with this.
Does he? Not what you want. Does he?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he should get 2 or 3.
Agreed. At least 2. At least 2. And let's talk too quickly. Again, it's too bad because you wanted this series to be just about the two teams going at it. They hate each other.
I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this.
No, I don't either. The one by Matthew Tkachuk on Jake Gensel. Any issue that you had with that?
I'm actually all right with that one.
You're fine with that. Okay.
Yeah, fine-ish.
I'm on the offense with that, but I'm more on the fence of, okay, we'll let that one slide, so to speak. Gensel was okay. If Gensel got hurt, would have been a different story, and I hate using that as a reason, but it does come into play. So I'm with you. It was an awful hit. Mikkola as well. That was ridiculous. It was not needed at all. You have a defenseless player on the ice who is right up against the boards, and you feel the need to, hey, let's give him another shove.
I know he got fined,
but come on. I mean, play within the game.
Kicked out of the game, to be fair.
Fine, fair enough. But it's just stupidity. Like, the mentality of the Panther. I know it's the emotion and all this, but you got to play within the game. I mean, be fair about it. I know you hate the team. Fine. But don't try to kill somebody on the ice.
Long story short, Lightning are in deep now.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky's going to have to be near perfect.
Oh.
Kucherov is going to have to be better. Braden Point is going to have to be better.
Yeah.
Cirelli's going to have to be better.
Everybody.
Gensel's going to have to be better.
All right, keep going.
Victor Hedman's going to have to be. They're in deep now, and it's going to be really tough, and I just don't see them coming out of this one. And I thought this one might have gone 6 or 7, and I do now wonder if it's going to go beyond 5.
Yeah, well, it's. I'm going to stick with Tampa. I had Tampa. I'm going to stick with them. But
we're
again,
all sticking with what we picked.
The key.
No one's going to waver.
Some people don't. The key is, not saying you do. You do. You stick.
I don't.
But the key is for them, let's get it back to Florida. Get it back to Sunrise. So win the next one, then go back.
Right.
But you know what? In this whole 3-1 thing, I forgot when I saw the game last night. I didn't forget, but that's right. The first two games were in Tampa. I forgot about that. And now then they go back to Tampa for this one. So
that was the first home win in this series by either team.
Crazy.
It was last night. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Okay, let's move on. Tonight again, the Leafs have a chance to knock out Ottawa. They're up 3-1. They were up 3-0 in the last game. Ottawa won the game in overtime. A bunch of stuff coming in this one, or coming into, I guess, this one. Auston Matthews said today, we're all grinding, basically. And I'll be honest with you, he didn't look as good in the last game. He looked off to me. He looked a bit slower, not as aggressive. A lot of the other guys play well. Matthew Nye said that he's just on a different level right now, which is awesome. But here we go again, Vic. The longer this takes for Toronto to knock a team out when they have an elimination game, whether it's for them or against them, the narrative is going to be, hey, what's the Core Four's record in elimination games? It's terrible.
Let's not get there yet.
Oh, no,
They're still in the driver's seat.
That's what I'm saying. They are.
It's 3-1. Now it's coming back to Scotiabank in Toronto. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, not at all.
I thought Ottawa really scrapped that one out. Ryan, when Domi took that penalty at the very beginning and they scored, I thought that set the tone.
Was that the penalty off the face-off?
Yes, the one at the very early. It was a very stupid penalty to take. Very undisciplined. Yeah. When that happened and Ottawa scored, I thought the Senators are now in the driver's seat in this game, and I thought they were going to win. Mm-hmm. And then Toronto came back and made it a contest again. And beautiful shot from Jake Sanderson in overtime. It was a gorgeous shot.
It was.
Total legit win. I thought Ottawa played their behinds off in that game, and I thought they deserved the victory. The concerns going forward, like you mentioned, Austin Matthews had a day of rest yesterday.
He said two. Yes. He hasn't skated at all since Saturday.
That's okay. But everybody freaked out on social media, and they're of course downplaying it because they have to downplay it.
Yeah.
And then there was concern as well. And here we are talking about this again. Not what we want to talk about. John Tavares okay?
Didn't like
after
the hit pick.
Got knocked in the noggin.
That was a penalty. How was that not a penalty? How was that not a penalty? How was it not a penalty?
It was a penalty. It wasn't a suspension. Nope. Not in my mind.
Agreed.
But it certainly was a penalty.
And they made a lot.
I want to stop talking about this stuff. Yep. I want them to not give us a reason to talk about it. We have to talk about it.
100% agree with you because, again, going into these eight series, what you want to talk about are the two teams going at each other within the rules, within the game. I know there's a bit of give and take here, and sometimes you go over the edge, but let's talk about the talent. Let's talk about, hey, this game went to double overtime, and it was 5-4. Let's talk about this great comeback. They were down 4-1, and they came back to tie it up at 4. No, did you see this? Did you see that? Why wasn't that called? And they made mention, too, when the Leafs had that four-minute power play after the high, right? And they said, hey, if John Tavares was on the ice – that was a big loss. And I didn't think about that. And I not only was putting that into the Leafs' perspective when he wasn't on the ice for the power play, he wouldn't play the whole thing, but he played.
Power play, the.
Yeah. I looked at some of the other teams. You take away somebody like that on a first five-man unit, and that's not easy. I don't care how good the other four are on the ice. When you take away a key piece like that, again, give credit to Ottawa. They killed it off. But then again, would the script have been different if Tavares was not there or was there, right? So
it's like the Panthers having to manage 5-on-4 without Sam Reinhart, right? That to me is the equivalent. And you're right, it did put them down. Still, the Leafs should have scored. They had 4 minutes of
agreed.
All right, so
they try to wrap it up tonight again. The Leafs at home again, they do.
I think so
because I called the Leafs in five, so that's the reason why.
I'm going to quickly give you my reason why. So, you know, my cat Brooksy wears his Leafs jersey every game that you gifted him for Christmas.
I sure did.
This is a true story. And he's worn it games 1, 2, and 3, and he didn't wear it game 4 because I was out.
Victoria.
So we are staying home tonight.
Good.
All right.
And
Brooksy. It's not his fault. This is on me. And Brooksy will be wearing his Leafs sweater.
He doesn't know to put it on himself. Like you've not trained this cat. This cat is super.
Canadians Capitals.
Right? Yes. Let's move on. I think Washington wraps it up. I've been very impressed. I'll say this. I know. I've been very impressed with the Canadians. Hmm. And I'm not just been impressed with what they've done on the ice and the play that I've seen, but the future of the team. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of great talent. It's fun. It's exciting. It's young. The Bell Center's hopping. But the last game for me, again, all the shenanigans we've seen with Anderson and Tom Wilson in the bench, that game was just absolutely insane. That had everything.
That was one of the most entertaining sporting affairs I have seen in
ever?
Any sport. No, in the last couple of years.
Okay.
I was on the edge of my seat. I was planning to flip and watch other things. And I timed my bathroom breaks. It was just, it was incredible drama. I didn't miss a second of it.
That
it was incredible.
That was a game that literally the saying is if you change it, you'll miss something. That was a game that if you flip it for the whole commercial, you're done.
By myself in my basement alone. And I was thoroughly entertained by that game. All aspects of it, the scoring, the bench nonsense, all of it. It was incredible. But I'm with you. They've given it a really good go. And I will remind everybody that I did pick the Canadians to upset them in 7. Still possible.
I had the Caps in 5, just reminding everybody.
One of us is looking a lot stronger in that respect.
Right, yeah.
But I thought the Canadians would have given them a good go. I still think the series could be 2-2. I think it could have been 2-2 for several different games. But now down 3-1. Sounds like Montembeau isn't ready to go yet either. I have to check that update. I'm not sure about that.
Can I just throw this in? Even if he was ready to go, don't put him in. He's not the stronger of the two goalies. I'll just
say that.
You
like Dobish better, really?
I do. I've said that from day one. I've said that with Calvin Pickard and Stuart Skinner. We'll get into that too with Edmonton. There's a no-brainer for me. It's been this way for months in Edmonton.
Your backup love is really something else.
I love the backups, yeah. I don't even really get my backup with that. So it's...
There it is. And the Capitals are probably going to get Alexi Protas back tonight.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big boost on the ice. One of their best top six forwards all season long. And it's also going to be an emotional, mental boost for them as well. So I'm concerned. I like to see the fight. They're not playing tonight. Sorry, did I say tonight? They're playing tomorrow. But they're playing tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
goodness gracious, Matty Ash. The days run into each other with so much action at this stage of the season with all the different series. But they play tomorrow, so we'll see. I'm still rooting for the Canadians to make a series of it, not just because of my prediction, but for entertainment value. And I'd love to see them get one more game at the Bell Center. I think that would be great fun. But I'm not too optimistic.
They were in it for a lot of the game last time, but then you just saw Washington, even if they didn't score, you just got a sense that things were turning in Washington's direction.
Yeah.
And again, you look at the kind of the veteran guys on the team compared to the Canadians, the experience Washington's had. I'm not a huge person with that these days. I do think that because parity is so good in the league that you don't need a ton of experience going in. Oh, well, this team has 800 games combined in the playoffs and this team has 50. But I certainly saw that in that last game. And I thought, you know what? Yes, the Canadians, they're going to give it their best, but Washington is just too strong.
And Ovechkin hasn't even been that dominant of a force.
No, he hasn't been. He hasn't
been. The fact that they're still winning games without that, just like they did when he was off for 6 weeks in the winter, Ryan, they still won too. So yeah, this is a big ask for Montreal.
Usually we will go into the other series, but because we have Jim Berringer coming on later on, we'll go into the series then with him. That's the Devils and the Canes. Carolina up 3-1 is Victor to say. A lot different series leads and games by these teams in the East than compared to the West. So we'll go West in a second. But before we do, Mike Sullivan and the Penguins back on Monday, they agreed to part ways. Kyle Dubas, the GM, saying it was, quote, time for a change. You're pretty convinced, and I think a lot of people are, that he will be the next coach of the New York Rangers.
Arthur Staple wrote an article about this, that since Chris Drury has taken over as GM 4 years ago for the Rangers, he has wanted Mike Sullivan the entire time.
Well, now's the opportunity.
Now's the opportunity. So I really, truly believe it'll be up to Mike Sullivan whether he wants to take on that task. And I think it's a very interesting challenge that a lot of different head coaches would appreciate taking on, because you do have all that talent that really made a mess of this season altogether. And here's an opportunity for you to help them right the ship. Okay. Because the Rangers should be a playoff team. They should be. They're not this year, but they should be. So I think that's very appealing. A lot of insiders too, I don't know squat, but a lot of insiders are also saying that it's moving in this direction, and this actually might happen very quickly. But you think that Boston is also in the mix here?
I do. And again, we talked about this before you and I came on, that for the situation, again, we don't know what goes through the mind of Sullivan. If he's presented with Boston in New York, where he's going to go, what situation that he thinks he'd be better fit in. But you seem to think the Rangers one is a better fit. I do as well with you. I agree with that. It's hard to believe still that you go from winning the President's Trophy down to not making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I know Boston had a drop as well, but this was just a massive thing from the get-go with the Rangers. I still think they have to do some moves too if they need to over the course of the offseason.
100%.
Yeah, we can get into that another time. But yeah, I mean, look, Mike Sullivan's a great coach. He's great reviews. I mean, everyone seems to like playing for the guy. There's nothing wrong with what he's done and the teams that he's coached. So if he was available, if I was Boston, if I was Sweeney and Neely and whoever, I would make a call.
I think they're going to talk.
Yeah, I think they will.
Especially
too.
The fact that Charlie McAvoy is his son-in-law.
Right. Yeah, that would go against the family if he decided not to talk to them. Because
he has to at least have a conversation. If it's me and I'm looking at those two rosters, Boston's in a rebuild phase right now. And if I'm Mike Sullivan and I've just come out of Pittsburgh, I want to join a team that has a pretty solid shot next year of making a go of it. And I think the Rangers have the edge in that respect.
We'll see. Regardless who gets them, they're going to get a pretty good head coach in Mike Sullivan. Again, we'll talk Canes Devils with Jim Berringer later on. We'll go West. We'll dive into all four of those series a lot tighter, at least games won and games lost wise.
Yep.
And then in that Eastern Conference. Bucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Mandy Ash. We'll go West after this.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And don't forget, coming up in, I'd say, 15 and change, Jim Berenger will join us and we'll talk about the Canes and the Devils. We'll revisit that series in that Eastern Conference. Carolina up 3-1. No one's surprised about that. Maybe they're surprised that it's not a sweep already. Imagine that. Hey, Rod, did you get swept? No, we actually swept the team. Yes, you're right. You did. Bucks and seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Let's go west, and we'll talk about these series a lot closer in games won and games lost. Then the East. We've got 2-2s. All the way across the board, except for just one. So we'll go into that Avalanche Stars game and series in a sec. Let's begin, though, with the Blues and the Jets. I said this to you, I think, in the last show that we did, that one of the things that came out of that series last year between the Jets and the Avalanche in round one was at the end of the series press conference, media availability after that game five, when Connor Hellebuyck stepped to the podium and he was asked about, you know, I think they gave up 25-28 goals in the five games. They lost 4-1. And he said, yeah, you know what? You'd be surprised, but I think I've been playing the best hockey of my life. Well, you know what? If you thought then was the best hockey of your life, you've got to find something from it. Even though you lost in five games, you got to pick it up. You got to grab it. You got to go with it, because you ain't playing your best hockey at all in the first four games there.
Now, to give Hellebuyck a little bit of credit, he admits that now.
I know.
He's not saying he's playing his best hockey right now.
I wouldn't.
Because he is. The Blues are lighting him up.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to blame that all on Hellebuyck, even though he has failed to make some saves he should have had. He'll be the first to tell you that. But also, just generally, credit where it's due. The Blues have been fantastic in addressing the Jets' defense in this series. So they've been so fast, Ryan.
Yeah.
They're banging around like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Their depth is really coming to show in terms of that they can get goals from just about everywhere. Look what Cam Fowler's doing right now.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like somebody's happy not to be in Anaheim anymore. It's just the Blues are doing pretty much everything right. The Jets D hasn't been up to snuff in general, and I'm talking team defense, and Hellebuyck isn't stealing it for them. So they're going to have, they've had some time. They don't play till tomorrow. So they've had some time. And I like how Hellebuyck has addressed the media most recently about his failings. And he said, I haven't been good enough, but nobody studies this game more than I do. And I'm going to put in my work like I always do. I'm going to be better next game. Basically guaranteed. I'm paraphrasing, but he pretty much guaranteed that he's going to be fantastic in game five.
Well, you have to be. I'm going to stick.
They're back home too. So.
Yes, they are. That's right. I do believe as well. I think the Blues should be up 3-1. I think they should have won one of the games in Winnipeg. I think they deserve to do that. But anyway, it's keeping with my pick. I'm glad it's 2-2 because now I still have the Blues in six as a legitimate selection. Hopefully that continues. I think I'm in the minority with that. Let me just read you the numbers of Hellebuyck in the postseason.
Oh, no.
In the last two full postseasons. So the five games he played in 22-23, a 344 goals against, 886 save percentage. Last season, lost in five games to Colorado, goals against 5.23, save percentage 870. Right now, series tied at two with the Blues, goals against 424, save percentage 817. Here's what I don't get. Number one, I respect any player who plays the game in hockey. It's a tough game.
And
these guys are just, and women are just above everybody else when it comes to sports, I believe. Goalies, I admire them more so than probably any position in the National Hockey League. But what I don't get is that I know it's one team you're facing and you could face them for seven consecutive games, but I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact, how can his numbers be so bad when in the regular season, they are Vezina Trophy winning? He's going to win the Vezina this season. So what has happened? What has happened? It's not like he went into a month of a funk down the stretch for Winnipeg. They were winning. They've been winning all season long. So what is it? And you said, yes, give credit to the Blues. Give credit to Cam Fowler and Kyrou and Thomas and Binnington.
Buchnevich.
Yeah, everybody. And give. I saw this quote before the start of the Blues series with the Jets, and it was when Jim Montgomery got the job in St. Louis, and Scott Arneil used to be with Montgomery years and years ago, and Arneil texted Montgomery, say, hey, congrats on the job. Let's just hope we don't meet you, or something like that, or let's hope you don't get in our division. And next thing you know, it's St. Louis against Winnipeg. But I don't get how the numbers can be so good and then so bad so quickly. That's what I don't understand.
It's obviously in his noggin. Also, practically speaking, he's too deep in his net. If you watch how he's getting beat, he's not coming out. He's not playing aggressively at all. And I think that's something that we're going to see a little bit different for game five back in Winnipeg.
Right.
But I do. I think it's in his head. And he has to do whatever he can, because we know how good he is.
Yes.
There's no question of that.
Absolutely not.
So, but it's such a mental position, as you said. You think it's the toughest in the game. I would never want to play that position.
But
not in a million years.
Yeah, but if the whole back in the
net.
I'm
not defending him. I'm just explaining. This is my explanation of it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So whatever you're doing in the first four games, it's nothing like you did in the however many games, 60 something, whatever he played this season.
A lot.
Yeah, it's odd. It really is, and I really do hope. Look, if the Blues pull this off, and give the Blues credit, I think we said this in the last show.
Absolutely.
They had 42 of 50 points in the final 25 games. So I know they didn't play great down the stretch in the last week and a half, whatever it was. But the fact is, this team knew how to win. And Jim Montgomery, to me, is the MVP of that team. He is the MVP coach, most MVC, whatever it is, of that hockey team. So Hellebuck's got to be better. He really does, because the numbers are not very good.
Does he rebound?
Where's this game? Game's in Winnipeg, right? Game's back.
Yeah.
I got to say no, because I want the Blues in six. I'm going to say yes. We will see a different Hellebuck. Do I think it'll be good enough to win? I still think the Blues will win game five. I do.
Another edge I'm going to give the Jets in game five. Sounds like Gabe Vilardi is going to be back in the lineup.
Yeah.
And that's somebody they have missed on that top line for a while. He's not a cure-all,
no,
Ryan.
But
it's going to help having him back in the lineup. And again, that emotional mental boost that the Jets, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah.
That's something that you get a bump from as well.
Yeah. He'll be a Gabe time decision.
Oh,
Let's move on. It's 2-2 between the Oilers.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Not bad.
It was okay. I thought about
not
that
bad.
Days ago. Oilers and the Kings, they're tied at 2. This series, again, has so many small storylines that are happening. The first two games, the Kings win. Edmonton has that huge comeback and they fall short. Next couple in Edmonton, McDavid and Draisaitl are playing like it's nobody's business. No surprise. Pickard's in. Skinner, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. Hiller's making some tough decision.
Oh, don't even.
The coach's challenge on that King goal. Anyway, the point is this, Vic. It's 2-2. It's now best of 3.
Wildest series? First round? Wildest series?
Excluding Minnesota-Vegas, yes.
Okay.
You get worse.
But is that a pun thing?
Wildest.
Okay, all right.
Okay, yeah.
this is the kookiest series to me.
Agreed.
Just, it looked like the Kings were just, this was just a matter of time.
Yep.
And the way that Edmonton has come back in the third period, and again, on the backs of the two of the finest players in the game.
Unreal.
Which is what you can expect.
Mm-hmm.
But other people aren't screwing it up either. And I think that's very, very important. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins played really well the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Hyman has looked better as well.
Bouchard's been great.
Bouchard, you know what? That's a miss by me. I think Bouchard might even be the MVP of this series. When you score the tying and
sure.
you get them back in it and you do all that, and he hasn't been a defensive liability the last two games. Well, not as much as we have seen from him in the past.
Yeah.
Pickard has been fine.
He's been fine.
He's been okie doke.
He's been better than Skinner.
He's been better than Skinner.
You and I could be better than Skinner.
No, we couldn't.
I could then.
Okay. you own that
your
on
cat
your own.
Could put his jersey on. Get an Edmonton jersey on. Brooksy, you're a net. Let's go.
Okay. We're taking some poetic license here to make a point, but Stewart has not been playing well.
Right.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you this because so the Kings won the first two games at home. The Oilers in come from behind fashion, won 3 and 4 in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Now goes back to where the Kings have been nearly unbeatable all season long.
Yeah.
Are the Oilers in the driver's seat here, or
no.
do the Kings right the ship?
No, they're not. Edmonton's not in the driver's seat.
Okay.
LA is. I know Jim Hiller the other night, and certainly has been asked about the third period regression, if you will. I don't like the word collapse, but the regression of the team. And he made a great point. And I thought about this, too, in some of the previous games where the Edmonton Oilers would pull their goalie. Remember that comeback game where they came back? Edmonton pulled their goalie. And LA had a couple of chances into the empty net, and they just missed. We wouldn't have even been talking about Edmonton making a huge comeback if it ended up being 6-3 at the time or 5-2, whatever it was.
And game then
they
of inches.
Yeah. And then even in the last game, he said, hey, we missed it by an inch or something. Then he talked about Q and Byfield.
Yeah, Quinton Byfield's
right?
gaff, yeah.
So that's where I still think the LA Kings have the advantage. But again, as you know this and everybody knows this about hockey, it is a game of inches. So mm-hmm. I agree with what he said. If that goal went in, if they scored an empty, nobody would be talking and the Kings would be up 3-1. And yes, they're going back home where they barely have lost.
It's interesting to me, too, how the Vezina nominations came out.
Yeah.
We should just, Hellebuck is going to win it, but also nominated Kemper and Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
All three of them not exactly doing what maybe their team might have liked.
Yeah, I know.
At least in the most recent couple of games.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. My only concern, the Kings are the better team. The Kings should win again game 5 at home. I believe that's what should happen. I just wonder if they're going to be a little tight because of what's happened the past couple of games and losing the momentum that they had coming off game 2.
This is that's where guys like Kopitar, where guys like Doughty,
yes.
Other veterans on that team need just, hey, okay, let's breathe. It's not like we played terribly. We could probably be up 3-1, couple,
yep.
whatever it is. It's now a brand, it's a best of 3. And that's the one thing that they really
And they're home for 2 of them.
And they're home for 2 of them. Exactly. If need be. If necessary.
If need be.
Okay, let's do Dallas and Colorado. Boy, that was a quick start. Wyatt Johnston, 9 seconds in game
yeah.
5. Dallas winning 6-2. I'll say this. It's now 3-2 Dallas. So this series, again, out of the 4, it's the only one that's not tied at 2 in the Western Conference. My feeling in the series in the first 5 games, I can sum it up in this way. Except for last night. So say the first 4. It seemed like and this was one of the tilts that everybody wanted to see. We couldn't wait for these two teams to go at it. And we had a good idea about a month left in the season, maybe more than that, that they would play each other. But the first 4 games, to me, it kind of felt that both teams were playing not to lose. They were playing not to make that mistake or not to do this. Or they weren't playing to their strengths. They weren't playing this open, let's play to win, let's just keep it going. Let's not wait for them to make a mistake, or let's try not for us to make a mistake. But last night, completely different. Dallas took it to the Avalanche.
They definitely took over, and they took over and played the best Dallas hockey that we're familiar with.
Yeah, they did.
They were so fast, Ryan.
Yeah, I know.
And they're just up and down. And again, their depth of scoring coming to play mm-hmm. in terms of almost every line was dangerous in that respect as well,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily what we've seen from them when they are struggling. Credit to Ottinger, man. I know Colorado got back in that game and it looked like it was going to be a contest. Credit to Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was going to be a contest again. And then Ottinger, along with the defense in front of him, obviously,
yes.
but Ottinger in particularly just said, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win this one. And even watching it, even when it was close again, you knew that it wasn't Colorado's
the
night.
The ice was tilted in Dallas's favor. Yeah,
it very much was.
Yeah.
Do you think, as wonderful of a story it is, and I wouldn't change anything about it, as it has been, the Gabriel Landeskog return has been a bit of a distraction, a welcome one, but do you think maybe they need to get past that now? And I know he scored and that was great and they won that game. I do wonder, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Having him come back has been wonderful, first of all, for him, but also mm-hmm. for the team.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if that would have been timing-wise a better situation if it was in the last couple weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Do you think or not?
No, I don't.
You don't think it's a distraction?
No.
At all? No. People disagree with me on that. I'm just posing the question.
Yeah, no, and I think it's a valid point. It's a valid question. And I hadn't really thought about that and that angle before. And probably the quickest answer or the reasoning that I have behind that answer is Dallas led, I believe I have this correct, in the first 4 games. They led for a total of 62 seconds, something like
two
that.
2 seconds. They led for 2 seconds.
Unreal. So you have 2 4-goal losses. Then you got the back-to-back overtime game. So again, we wouldn't be talking like this. We wouldn't be saying the Avs are down 3-2 if the puck went in the favor of the Avalanche. They were a shot away in those overtime games, but Dallas found a way to win. So no, I don't think it is a distraction.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll be honest. the more I think about it, if Landeskog was healthy and ready to go, and if he could have come back in the last couple of weeks, for sure, that would have gotten that out of the way. But I just think the Avalanche are too, they're just too strongly built for that, that it would be a distraction.
No, fair point. The only game that was decisively won in that series was the last one. That it was
no,
Dallas.
Agreed.
Every other, agreed. All the rest of them could have went in a different direction. But now I think Colorado, well, they can't lose again. So they have to figure it out. Fortunately, they have Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon and goaltending that needs to be better and a whole host and Val Nichushkin, and they have the players and Gabe Landeskog.
Yeah.
Who's fitting in. They have all these pieces out there, and hopefully, I hope they make something of it.
I do too. I do too, because you want to see this series go seven. You really do, because they're two great teams. And the unfortunate yes. part is if Colorado does lose in six, then they'll say, you know what? Hey, we didn't play as well as we thought we could, and all that discussion point will come out of that. Last one, before we get to Jim Berenger, we'll talk Devils Canes with Jim and go 77 seconds in with Jim as well. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Minnesota Wild, this is not the series. I didn't think that they would be tied to two right now. I had Vegas winning in five, so obviously that is not going to happen. The best right. they can do is win in six. I'm going to give a ton of credit where credit's due to Minnesota and the entire Wild team, but at the same point, and you have it on the lineup, you said two things. One question about two players. Where's Jack Eichel and where's Mark Stone?
Jack Eichel in four games has one assist. Mark Stone in four games has one assist. The fact that this series is even tied to two,
no, I know,
speaks to the fact that Barbashev and other supporting cast members are getting the business done against a very inspired Wild team right now, where we are seeing Kirill Kaprizov at his best, where we are seeing Matt Boldy at his best, mm-hmm. and other, and now it sounds like Gustafsson is healthy. It's right. Not Gustafsson, sorry, Marcus Johansson. And the goaltending has been good. And it's still tied 2-2. So we're just waiting for one of them, if not both, to erupt.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be shut out. I cannot see this playoff run wrap up with Jack Eichel having one assist and with Mark Stone having one assist. I just can't. I can't picture it.
And so remember last season when Marchessault won the Conn Smythe.
Yes.
And Jack Eichel had...
Two seasons ago.
Two seasons. That's right. Panthers won last year. And I remember that one of the biggest reasons why he won the Conn Smythe was he had more goals than Eichel did. But Eichel was I mean, he was a lot of people's picks for that.
He could have won it. Yep.
Jack Eichel had an unbelievable season this year. His time on ice, the health that he's had, the assists, the power play minutes, the power play points, even strength, plus minus... Every single statistic was the
Ryan,
best.
He's had a career year.
Was the best that he's ever had. So again, this kind of goes back to Hellebuck.
Career year.
Maybe it's a little bit different because goalies are built differently, but you wonder what it is. Do you give credit to Minnesota or credit to the first four games?
Yes.
Now, granted, if you look at the games too, and I had to bring this up again. So 4-2 Minnesota, Vegas in game one, 5-2 Minnesota in game two. So that almost was completely different. 5-2 Minnesota in game three.
Yeah.
And Vegas found a way to get it done in game four. I'll tell you.
Overtime.
But I'll tell you this.
It went the other way.
And it was a giveaway, too. It was a giveaway by Minnesota that led to that Vegas goal. When Vegas scored that, I said that they're going to win this series. Even though they haven't played their best, they're going to win the series.
I think so as well, because of that, what you just said. They haven't been at their best. Their two top forwards haven't been at their best.
Right.
And there's only so long that you can manage to quash two players as talented as that career year, as we just said, from Jack Eichel. Mark Stone is still the heartbeat of that team, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
So they're going to come out. It's been awesome what Minnesota has done. Who knows? Maybe they pull this off. But I still, now that it's tied, even if Vegas was down 3-1, I would not write them off. So I'm certainly not going to write them off. With the series tied 2-2.
No, Stone's play is making it a bit hard for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll see. Carolina and New Jersey, game number five. The fact that Carolina's up 3-1, I think most people agree that was going to happen. Jim Berenger is next. We'll dive into that series and go 77 seconds. I'm having such trouble. It's like Hellebuck. He can't make a save. I can't even say 77 seconds with. I just did. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Jim Berenger, NHL writer, Full Press NHL, the RG Media, NHLRumors.com. He's been on my show a number of times on SiriusXM, and he's just an all-around good dude. Jim Berenger joining us here as we continue on Pucks and Seven. JB, I know it's been a while, but we kind of wanted to save our best guests for toward the end, and this is round one of the playoffs, so it's perfect timing.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ryan. Victoria, it's good to be here finally. Great show as always. But no, absolutely save the best for last. And maybe the best it might be going home first. Who knows?
Right? Okay, let's forget about the lead into this and the tee up. Okay, Jim, there you go. Really in.
There's a nice segue. All right. So, Jim, Devils are down 3-1. They play tonight. Are we packing this up or are we going to see a game six?
Oh, pack it up, ship it home, close the lights. It's over. Ryan heard me on the hot stove. Yeah, I said Canes in five. Yeah. When the Devils are 3-14 in 17 playoff games in Carolina, that's a problem. That's a problem, big time problem. So I don't think that New Jersey is going to win this game. They can't score on the power play. Mm-hmm. They can't score in general. That's the biggest issue for New Jersey. Their goal scoring is a problem. Their depth scoring is an issue, but their top six scoring has been an issue all season. And it goes back to the offseason. Victoria, great question on SiriusXM over the summer. I still remember it because it's coming up all year. Mm-hmm. But no, the series is going to be over in five. Jacob Markstrom's done his job. You know, they're playing Abramby without three defensemen, Jack Hughes. But it's just, even if they were healthy, Carolina is just too good of a team for them to make the adjustments.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to say, would the narrative be different? Forget about the series being 3-1, but would the narrative probably would be different going into the series if the Devils were healthy? And what would you have thought? Do you think they maybe would? Do you still think the Devils would have lost the series? That's my question.
Yes, I still think the Devils would have lost the series. I'm trying to be like realist here. Like I've seen this team against Carolina,
right?
And Carolina's put the book out on them. Like it goes back to the Svechnikov hat trick goal. There's four guys in the middle of the neutral zone. Dougie Hamilton's trying to make a pass to, I don't know who he's trying to make a pass to, because no one's open because they've clogged the neutral zone, mm-hmm. and it leads to the Svechnikov goal. And it's been like that for a long time for New Jersey against Carolina. I mean, they had a chance in 2009, but again, we know what happened. You know, another Stahl brother breaks the heart of the Devils fan base. So, I mean, Eric Stahl just did what he did. But again, it's just so tough when you're playing undermanned, but even healthy. Can they execute the adjustments the coaching staff wants to do on the ice? You can talk about it all you want in the room. You got to go and execute.
It's kind of like Eric stalled the Devils in their tracks.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm glad that we got that out of the way.
Well, I wanted to get it. What are we at? We're at 3:23 in. Okay, carry on.
So here we have some real talk with Jim Berenger, who's covering the Devils. Not painting any rosy picture here at all, that's for sure. Now, let me try and throw you one line, maybe. Is it an advantage at all for New Jersey, the fact that they're now going to be facing for sure Kochetkov instead of Freddie Anderson, who is injured?
It would be somewhat of an advantage. Yeah, I'll give you that. But you got to get pucks to him because Carolina, again, took the lanes away. And you got to find a way to create volume, create chances, create scoring. Just keep the game simple. And, you know, it's funny because – we've all been around the players. We all hear the cliches. We've all heard, throw pucks on net, get pucks deep, get guys in front. Yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, it is that simple. And we're seeing it in the playoffs. It is that simple. And I think that's what New Jersey has to do. Look, they threw their first shot on net when he came in cold. They scored. But after that, they didn't really muster up any grade A chances. Everything was from the outside, the tip, you know. That's what they're going to have to do if they're going to win this game and bring it back to New Jersey. Right now, it does not look good.
So we're kind of giving them the postmortem on this team, but I think a lot of people would do this right now. I don't see Carolina losing three games in a row to the Devils. I don't see the Devils winning the three. So with that being said, looking at the offseason quickly here, Jim, and I was pulling up the cap space for the Devils. They have a bunch of guys up front, a bunch of talented players as well. And if you look at the commit, I think they have 40 plus mil committed for next season for forwards. They have over 20 and change, almost 28, I think, for defensemen on the back end. They have about 5 in change, almost something like that. If you were to look at the team and say they do get knocked out in game 5, any changes that you would think that you would need to do that you would try to do?
Yeah. First would be start in the top 6 and get yourself a goal scorer.
Right.
And replace the production that you lost when you didn't give Tyler Toffoli a new contract extension, when you lost 25 to 30 goals guaranteed a season. Look, regardless of age, regardless of length, whatever it was, no move clause, no trade clause, whatever it was, you had to get a goal scorer. The offense just wasn't there, even though Tom Fitzgerald said, oh, we can score goals, we have offense. It's just not there. It's too inconsistent. Yeah, you can score 5 goals one night, but then the next night you're getting shut out or you're scoring 1 goal. You're not doing that consistently enough. And again, even with a healthy team, you were not doing that consistently enough.
Right.
You need to find depth down the middle. You're going to have to make tough decisions on players that you've drafted and that you've brought along that you think were part of your future to maybe get that goal scorer. I'm looking at Dawson Mercer
that's
as that guy.
That's who I thought you were going to bring up. Yeah.
Yep. That's the guy. Like, yeah. You're making $4 million a season, right? I don't want to say held out for more, but you held out a little longer than most people thought you were going to hold out and asked for $4 million, and you probably should have gotten 3.5, maybe a little less than that, for what your production has been as a player. Yeah, that's a player that you may have to move on from, and I know teams have been calling about him.
Mm-hmm. I will say just one thing, and then Vic can jump in, that they are being consistent. So I'll backtrack a little bit on that because they're being consistent of being inconsistent. Okay, Vic, carry on, as you were.
defensive core wise, let's just say everybody's healthy. Siegenthaler is healthy. Luke Hughes is healthy. Dougie Hamilton is healthy. Brett Pesce is healthy. You satisfied, or do they need another piece?
They need. You can clearly see they need like a 6, 7, maybe an 8 guy. Like, I think they're probably going to keep around Dumoulin. I think he was a good addition to this team. You could see what he's brought. The pedigree that he's brought, maybe they try to keep him around. But you can clearly see that either they don't trust the young guys enough yet. Nemich is taking a step. He's coming, but can they consistently count on him? Seamus Casey, if you're going to play Dennis Chwalski 8-9 minutes, you might as well just put Seamus Casey in and do the same thing to him. Because at this point, what else do you have to lose? But you have to find depth, quality NHL defensemen that when you do have injuries, guys can step into the lineup and play 10 to 15 minutes a game and not be on the bench. Only can play 8-9 minutes a game. That's not going to serve a team well come the playoffs again. And I think that's another area that they're going to have to look at. Don't forget, Luke Hughes is due for a new contract extension as well.
That's fair.
Expand the rosters to 50. That'll solve the problem, especially, you know, if you don't have. I'm kidding. That's not going to happen. quick thing. Let's move past the Devils. Officiating. Vic and I spent a lot of time in the first couple of segments of this, more specifically in the Eastern Conference, when we talked about the officiating and all the issues that we're seeing in the Panthers Tampa Bay series. One, for example, let's just focus in on that. There are so many calls, Jim. For example, the Aaron Ekblad one. He's having a hearing today. Try to make me understand why no penalty is called, but yet you have a hearing the next day. That was a major, major bad look for the NHL. If you don't get a penalty on the ice, yet you're having a hearing the day after, that means there should have been a penalty. You don't have to follow a game that much. The unfortunate part is, Jim, we're talking about this again and again and again. Your thoughts on what you've seen so far?
Yeah, look, I do officiate outside of writing. So
that's right, you do, yes.
I want to toe the line a little bit here.
But I respect that. I do. Yep.
But I will say this. I talked to many officials yesterday and they're like, how was that not called?
There you go.
And like, that is a bad look because the referee put himself in such a bad position, but B, you have 3 other guys on the ice looking at that play, and I'm sorry, you have to make the call. And this is where I will say this. I think the linesmen need to have a little bit more power when it comes to making calls, not just the officials for 5-minute majors and they're all puck over the glass and this and that. Hey, call this guy over. I think this guy hit him in the head. Maybe we should call something here, review it.
I'm in agreement. If
there's
with
no, if there's no penalty, we take it off the, we take it off the board, no penalty, but we need to be able to look at something like that. And his partner needs to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you missed something over here. We got to go check that out. Like, and that play, and it's always Tampa and Florida, right? Like last year it was a goalie interference. Right. This year it's hits to the head.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Matthew Tkachuk didn't get suspended, but he got 5-minute mate. Brandon Hagel gets the 5-minute major and a game suspension. Mm-hmm. Like this is it's always these teams. Yeah. And also, kids, when you have a lead, get the puck out of your zone. I'm just throwing it out there.
The basic fundamentals of hockey brought to you by JB. There we go.
What bothers me additionally, Ryan and I talked about how they could have just called the 5-minute and then review it and decide and make the proper decision. But also what the league is doing, and this is not about the officials to me, but the NHL itself, is these fines that they're issuing for unsportsmanlike conduct, for chirping to Arbor Jack guy and finding the teams, mm-hmm. and Dylan Mickelrath, and then Nick Cousins shooting pucks at his buddy in warm-up, and that's a fine, and the team gets a fine. This concentration on people not getting hurt, right? And like, it's basically chirping and gamesmanship, and that's what they're hammering on right now. I just think the focus is in the wrong direction. But
yeah, I agree with you, Victoria.
That's my opinion. So. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you because, look, for years, everybody, I know you guys are probably, you're both NFL fans. I know that for a fact. The NFL stands for No Fun League.
Let's go, George Kittle. Let's go, George Kittle. Make a ton of money. You still won't be good next season for San Francisco.
We're going down that path in the National Hockey League right now, the No Fun League right now. Like, with this warm-up stuff, like, look, even go back to the officiating. Go to the Devil Series. Like, Timo Meier, like, I know they called a 5-minute major and then took it off the board and reviewed it. That's mm-hmm. 2 minutes for goaltender interference. You bumped the guy. Mm-hmm. Like, legitimately, you didn't do it intentionally. And I get it. And Rod Brendamore has the right to say what he said after the game. He's like, if that's a goal and the puck goes in the net, that's coming off the board for goaltender interference. Mm-hmm. So how is that not a penalty? So at least 2 minutes on Meyer there. But the consistency of the officials, it seems like the standard that we had in the regular season completely went out the window, mm-hmm. come the playoffs, and we went back to like old school 2000s hockey.
Yeah.
Like, this when these series started. I don't know, just me and my opinion, but that's what I'm seeing.
Let's move on to some other series now.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with Connor Hellebuck, and can he fix it?
That's a very good question. Like, I was trying to be his defender the other day because a lot of people were saying, oh, it's all Hellebuck, all Hellebuck, all Hellebuck. And the team in front of him in the two games in St. Louis were not very good either defensively, like especially in game four. There was a lot of, I want to quote Lou Brown here from Major League, great movie, a lot of Olay stuff going on out on the ice. a lot of flybys.
You just brought in a Major League reference to the show. Yeah. I love you even more. Love it.
A lot of flybys going on, especially on that final goal. First of all, I don't know why Hellebuck even started the third period. Like, do what Pete DeBoer did with Jake Ottinger after it was 3-0. Just give him rest.
Yeah.
Shut him down and get him ready for the next game.
Yep.
Like, there was no reason for that. And then just to pull him after the fifth goal made no sense to me. It's all mental up here with him right now. Like, we know what he can do. But he's got to get out of his own head and just go play the game. Just go play the game. Be simple. Keep it simple. And just be like, look, I just can't let the bad one in. And the team can't be deflated when I let a goal in. That's the point, because it seems like the Jets just deflate after a goal goes in and they all just mail it in the rest of the way. This team needs a big, big victory against St. Louis in game five.
They sure do.
Brady Tkachuk said not too long ago, I watched the Red Sox versus Yankees documentary when Boston came back from being down 0-3. So it's been done before, and we have the belief that it can happen again. Forget about the coming back in the series. Does Toronto wrap it up tonight, Jim?
They better, or else there's going to be a lot of questions.
That's not what I asked you. I said, does Toronto? I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
All this talk, if they don't, here we go again.
It's giving me a headache.
I think they're going to wrap it up. I think they're going to beat Ottawa in five games. Again, if they don't, well, here we go again, everybody.
No!
Let's start the carousel ride again. No, I think they'll get it done because their top players through four games have been their best players.
Yeah.
Like, they have shown up this playoffs.
Agreed.
For me, it definitely looks like a different Maple Leafs team. Like, top guys showing up, playing well, power plays clicking, guys are playing defense. The last game went to overtime, shot goes in, okay. Mm-hmm. Last three games, overtime, anything could have gone anybody's way. I feel like Toronto's still in control of this series. It's one game, but you can't let it get to two because if you let it get to two, then it becomes three, and then we're at game seven, and that you don't want, especially with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I think they're going to wrap it up. I think they're going to come out with that mindset and say, hey, we got to get this done. Let's move on, get some rest, and let's get out of here.
I'll just say this. It's the loudest that I have heard the arena in Toronto probably ever. I'll be honest with you. So whatever it is, I mean, they're the quietest fan base in the world. You talk to anybody who says that, who follows league, it's the quietest building ever. Mm-hmm. But the first two games at home, they got to do it again tonight.
Which series surprises you the most?
I'd say Minnesota-Vegas, to be honest. I think that, to me, like, I didn't – well, you know what? I shouldn't – you know, here's the thing, though, Victoria. You said that Kaprizov probably should win the Hart Trophy, and you're clearly seeing why he should be in the conversation if he stayed healthy, because the offense goes through him. Him and Boldy are having a great – but that was a huge win for the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime the other day. Because if they lose that game, I think Minnesota would wrap it up in game five the way they've been playing.
Yeah.
This series just got new life there. I think everything else has really been – I think most people expected it. I don't know if most people expected 3-1 in Florida, Tampa, but, hey, we have it. But all the series – like, I saw some people the other day talking about, well, it's 2-2 in the West and everything in the East is 3-1. One side's better than the other. I'm like, have you watched the games?
Yeah, right.
Like, they're all entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like, every series, like we've talked about on the Hot Stove. Yeah, Devils and Canes, 8-8. Yeah, we get it. It's on the lowest of the low. I get it.
Yeah.
But every other series has been really entertaining, and it's been fun to watch. So, yeah, but Vegas to me, Vegas and Minnesota has just been very surprising to see it 2-2. I thought maybe 3-1 Vegas, but again, give credit to John Hines and what the Minnesota Wild are doing out there.
Absolutely. When we did the Hot Stove on the weekend, we made a ton of enemies in Newark and Raleigh. We really did. All three.
Oh, I saw those comments. I got tagged in some of those comments on the weekend.
That was no directive to you. None to you whatsoever.
No, I know. I know. Yeah. I tried to defend it, but I was like, guys, look at it. I mean, there's no lies being told here.
Yeah. Right?
One other series before we get into 77 seconds with you. Edmonton, LA, they're tied now at 2. Kings win the first two. Edmonton winning the last two. Talk about whatever you want about the...
what the heck is going on, Jim?
Okay, there we go.
Guys got to learn to clear the puck, Victoria. It's simple hockey.
Right.
Look, I don't know. I've never seen a team dominate.
Yeah.
Dominate on the road for four periods like the LA Kings did. And lose both games.
Agreed.
Because you sat back in the third period and just let the Edmonton Oilers do whatever they want. Like they did. They legitimately just let them come at will all the time. And I know, I get it. I heard with Hill, I know what he said to, you know, I know what the comment is. I saw it. Yeah. But you know what? It should have never gotten there if your team wasn't playing in your zone for 20 minutes.
Right.
That shouldn't have happened. Like, you were up 3-1. You let this get to 3-2. Yeah, Byfield doesn't chip it out of the zone. I get it. But you know what? You sat back, and you sat back in game one, too, and got away with it. So, like, you can't be sitting back on leads. This isn't 2000 New Jersey Devils where it's 1-0 and the game's over. This is the game's different now.
Especially when you've got two guys, number 97 and 29. On Edmonton.
Exactly. That's not going to happen. Like, you have to throw pucks on Calvin Pickard or Stuart Skinner. Obviously, Pickard is going to be the guy right now. Mm-hmm. But they've been scoring at will on Pickard, too. They have the offensive ability. Yeah. Kuzmenko's made their top line really good. Their power play is great. They're rolling four lines. Issue is on the road. Jim Hiller, for some reason, doesn't want to play his bottom pair defenseman, and he wants to play two lines. That's not going to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Tons of pressure on the LA Kings in this one, even the series. Because if they lose again, once again, you lose to Edmonton. You can't slay the dragon. That is the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, going to be fun again. The first round is absolutely awesome. There's been so many storylines, and they'll still continue to play out in both the West and the East. Okay, time now to go 77 seconds in with Jim. That's the first time in the show, Jim, that I've gotten 77 seconds with out perfectly, even though Victoria's being nice, and she said it doesn't sound that bad. So here's where we ask you seven questions. Take as much time as you need.
It's quick fire, Jim.
I was going to say take as much time as you need.
We fight about this segment every single show.
It's within the 77 seconds. The 77 seconds. Okay, here we go.
Jim.
Again, series still need to be done. Who is now going to win the cup? Has it changed your pre-playoff pick, or is it the same?
Yes, it's changed. You want to know? Yeah, no, Florida's going to the Stanley Cup final. I had Tampa, the winner of that series, but Florida's going to the Stanley Cup final from the East and from the West. I actually still have the Vegas Golden Knights going there.
Okay. All right.
Who's your pick for the heart?
Nathan MacKinnon.
Okay.
Just because I think just what he brings all around. You know, just his all-around game. I you can't discredit 50-plus goals by Leon Draisaitl, but to me, what Nathan MacKinnon has done, plus he probably should have won in 2018, too.
Where you got to maybe share the trophy, because Leon and MacKinnon are just ridiculous. Your favorite, not best, but your favorite Devil of all time?
Stefan Richer. One of my favorite Devils of all time. Okay. Stefan Richer. Yeah, I always just loved the way he skated, the way he shot the puck. Came in that one year when McLean was hurt. Still kept the offense rolling early 90s. Yeah, and also I have a soft spot for former Montreal Canadiens, too.
Well said. Well said.
Best sporting event, can be hockey, doesn't have to be, you've ever attended live.
Ooh.
Or one of them.
Wow. Okay. Best sporting event?
You can come back to it. You can call a friend, 50-50.
No. I got it. I mean, obviously the Stanley Cup final is up there for me, but I was at the U.S. Open final with Djokovic and Nadal played. That was just unbelievable tennis. Like one of my favorite finals to be at of all time.
That's fantastic. I know exactly which one you're talking about. Yeah. Amazing.
The coolest person, neatest person that you've met, hockey and sports, whatever.
Willie O'Ree. I was at the Heritage Classic for Flames and Canadians. I was leaving Calgary in the airport, and I go to my dad, RIP to my dad.
Yes.
But I'm like, yo, that's Willie O'Ree. He's like, how you know? I'm like, dude, it's Willie O'Ree. Trust me. So I go over and we talked for like 20 minutes. The guy couldn't have been nicer. Coolest dude I'll ever meet.
Not surprising. Not surprising at all.
So, yeah, I mean, really, really great guy. Loved meeting him. Really took the time. And then, you know, we went our separate ways. And then I think I saw him again in Newark for a game. But really just a really, really nice guy.
That's what it's all about. You play hockey. You've played hockey. Your proudest moment as a player.
Oh.
And not the time you got a 10-minute major and you got thrown out of the game, suspended.
No, my proudest moment, it's probably got to be probably our back-to-back championships. We had a lot of guys on the team that weren't there the year before, but some of the guys were not, like, to be honest, not the best players. But, you know, my dad was a coach. One of the parents was the other coach. But we made sure we got everybody involved. And when we were, like, routing teams, I would make sure I set up all these guys for goals in front of the net and everything. Trust me, I had scored a lot of goals in my life. All the assists to those kids, the smiles on their faces,
right,
the hugs that we had after, and the memories we shared that year, it's not going to touch it.
That's amazing, man.
I love that answer, Jim. That's really great.
Thank you.
To wrap, you're a wrestling guy.
Yes.
Most underrated wrestler today.
Ooh. Today? I mean, yeah. CM Punk. Come on. It's CM Punk. No, I'm just kidding. I'm screwing around. Even though he's my guy, like Bret Hart's my guy. Those are my guys. But underrated guy today, it's got to be Seth Rollins. A lot of people get on his case because of he's in the main event picture, but they don't realize how great of a wrestler he is and the matches that he puts on and the type of styles he can work. Doesn't matter the guy, he can work it. Seth Rollins up there for me, underrated.
You heard it here first.
One of the greatest shows ever they put on, WrestleMania. It's just, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you want, no, you're going to shake your head with that?
Not this year.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, spectacle-wise, like, all the different, okay, interesting.
A spectacle, okay. Match-wise?
Match-wise. I'm not really talking about matches. Okay.
Jim's a purist.
No, I know he is, yeah. So I'm going to make a note. Never talk to Jim directly about wrestling.
No, I'm just kidding.
Your opinion means nothing. Okay, perfect. I'm kidding.
No. I mean, this year everything, all the backstage politics that was going on, what happened, you know, everything that's come out and what we've learned since WrestleMania 41, it's just a lot of same old stuff that never changes. So, but I mean, for overall, I think the product's been great. I think everything's, the fact that Punk's around, you know, all these guys are having great matches, business is in great shape. And like I say to everybody in the internet wrestling community, and I think I have to bring it over to the hockey internet community now too. Let's just enjoy the games and enjoy wrestling. Cause there's way too much like going out there of like negativity. Oh, how come this broadcast team is, you know, in location, this one's not on location. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? Just watch the game and enjoy it.
It's supposed to be fun.
Exactly. Game's supposed to be fun, right? That's what I was told. I think that's what the Mighty Ducks taught me, right? The game's supposed to be fun, right?
Major League reference of Mighty Ducks? My gosh, man.
We're rocking it out.
Speaking of fun, this has been fun. Jim, thank you for this. And we're going to do this again. And appreciate the time, Paul.
Hey, thanks, always Jim. A pleasure. Thank you for having me. Take care.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.